everyone. Welcome back to Retro Rewatch. And for those of you that haven't been paying attention, which typically is me, this is the show where Patrice Brendemore. Hi, Patrice.
Hi.
And I'm Jeff Gamet, where we talk about TV shows that I should have seen but haven't. But Patrice has, because of course. So we are still talking about Stargate SG-1, and we are in season 4, and we're getting close to the end of the season. Because we're up to episode 18, which is titled The Light. But first, Patrice, how is life treating you?
Yeah, not bad. I mean, my voice is, you can hear it a little bit probably. My voice is a little bit still compromised from an event last week, like a big trade fair where I was talking very loudly for 3 days, and yeah, took a little while to recover from that. But hey, I'm bad. I'm good. I'm okay. So, what can I say? I need a little bit of drugs. So,
you know, I look around the world.
Let's take the light.
Yeah.
I need a little bit of light, maybe.
Yeah, some light.
If it wasn't for all that, like dying and so on, problem that you have after.
Yeah, that's an issue. Yeah.
Yeah, that is definitely an issue.
So, all right. Well, I see what you did there, because you tied us right back into today's episode, The Light, which I said is season 4, episode 18. We are getting close to the end.
Yep.
And before we dive into the whole part where I try and tell us the story, but you have to keep correcting me because I've got things in the wrong order.
Okay.
We should do the part that I absolutely love, where you give me all the insider behind the scenes info about the episode, and then we laugh about my predictions for what the episode is going to be.
That sounds like a good plan. I'll take that one. So we have, as usual, some basic information. Air date for this episode was January 26, 2001, in the good old US of A on Showtime. And I watched it probably October 3rd, 2001, in Germany on RTL2. Don't ask me what RTL stands for, but there were two of them, so... No idea.
Really TV, lol. I don't know. That's all I could come up with.
But it was German, so I don't know. There's probably a reason behind that, and the name probably means something because it's German, but I don't know. I don't remember. Doesn't matter. There's a German title, Das Licht, The Light. So I think I told you that last time. It's not very spoilery this time. I mean, unless you consider The Light kind of a spoiler in itself. So maybe that's why.
There we go. Yeah. But honestly, after watching the episode, I'm surprised they didn't come up with an incredibly well-crafted major spoiler.
Yeah. Some German. What did you write? Let's get bored and trip balls. And I was trying to translate that. And I'm like, I couldn't come up with anything.
Which is, they probably had the same idea and thought, we'll just go with The Light.
The closest I came up with was verstrahlt, so kind of stone. It's kind of radiated, but it's kind of stoned, kind of.
Okay.
I'm like, okay, maybe that.
That would have worked.
That would have worked. IMDb rating, 6.9 out of 10. So, not that good, I would say. We have a first time and only time writing credit on this episode in James Phillips. He's a Canadian writer and producer, known for what? As Gouda as It Gets. Wow, that was a movie. Okay, from 2020. Interesting. Yeah, but he's still active, though his last credit is 2024. So every couple of years he seems to do something. And of course, the one episode of Stargate SG-1. People know him from.
Wait, you said he did the movie As Good As It Gets?
As Gouda As It Gets.
Oh, as Gouda As It Gets.
As in the cheese, yes.
Okay. That would be a very different movie. Because As Good As It Gets is a Jack Nicholson movie.
That would have been more interesting, but no. As Gouda As It Gets.
As Gouda As It Gets.
No clue what that one was about. You can go look it up. Probably not. Yeah. The directing credit though goes to a repeat offender, let's call him. repeat offender. Peter F. Wüste, and I looked it up. He is actually German. So it is probably Wüste. German Canadian, so German born but lived in Canada. Not a lot of credits, and it stops in 2017, so I don't know. He gets basically mostly Stargate credits, not that many, like a couple Stargate director photography on a movie, on a Stargate movie. We'll get to it's actually on two of them. We'll get to it at some point. Other than that, not a lot interesting. The Bird Watcher is another one that he's credited for. Mm. If you know that one. And Final Destination 5 as camera and electrical department. So, whatever.
Yep. Okay, well, good for him.
Good for him, yes. So as I said, we've seen him in Maternal Instinct last season, if you remember. And we will see him in the future. So as you can guess, if he's doing the Stargate movies and whatever, there is more credits that he's getting. Yeah, he was also director of photography, basically for a lot of it of season 2, 3, and so on. So he's basically Snaff. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
He's a DP basically. Yeah. We have not a lot of guest stars, as you can imagine.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So let's start with the obvious one. That is the boy, Lauren, Kristen Eyre. Canadian actor, known for Space Cases, The Outer Limits, and some anime shows. He was 23 during filming, so if that's important. Supposedly 15, but he was actually 23.
He looked older than 15, but he didn't look 23.
No. And I mean, they cast it that way. Like, they usually want 18-plus actors just for, all legal stuff. Sure. And, like, workers, protection, all of that, or children, whatever. So they usually try to do adults or young adults. It's just easier to work with them, but they cast them that so that they look younger. Then, of course, we have Gary Jones as Walter Herrmann. Last episode, Absolute Power. We have, of course, also have our previous doctor, Dr. Fraser. Also last seen, last episode. Terrell Rothery. And then we have the person who kills himself in the beginning. That he's named, but has a very short acting career on this episode. Let's call it this way.
Yeah, very short.
Link Baker is his name. Lieutenant Dean Barber is the character that he plays. Known for mostly science fiction series like Stargate SG-1 and the 4400. So that's another one that you might remember or might recognize. Don't know. It's another one of the sci-fi shows I like to watch.
Yeah, I've heard of it, but I haven't ever watched it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was just going to see if I have more on his Stargate career. We will see him again in future episodes from what I see here.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's basically all the basics. I do have some interesting tidbits, but actually not that much. It's not a very interesting or crazy episode, to be honest. It did win a Leo Award for Best Production Design, this episode. Best production design of a dramatic series. Credit to Richard Hudolin, Bridget McGuire, Brenton Herron, Doug McLean and Ivana Vasek, Mark Davidson and Robert Davidson. So the production team got credit for that one.
Okay, good for them.
The light effect was achieved through a combination of practical gel lighting, some mist, and then, of course, some CGI to achieve the environment. If you don't know what gel lighting is, it's basically using color gels placed over lights to create colors or moods, often with dynamic movement for a dramatic effect.
Yeah. So,
hope that helps.
Cool.
I wanted to note that because, I mean, it's less a production thing, but it is interesting nonetheless. This is the first time Teal'c mentions his age. We knew he was a little bit older, right?
Right.
We knew because we know from Braytech that Jeff Hawk get quite old, usually. A couple, like 100. How old was Braytech? 100, was it 150, 180? 130,
yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, it was well over 100.
Well over 100, that. At least. Yeah. So he is, as of this episode, 101 years old, and he is 47 days from his 102nd episode, 102nd birthday. It's like 102nd episode. No, not really. Yeah. And this is, as I mentioned, James Phillips' only Stargate SG-1 writing credit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, here's my spoiler.
Okay.
I appreciate why this is his only writing credit.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have to say I agree. Like, I mean, I don't know. I think there was so much more. We'll talk about that at the end. There was so much more that he could have done.
I agree.
It was an interesting idea. It just, didn't land. I wanted, before we jump in, wanted to talk about your predictions.
Yes.
So you said it would be another Daniel-focused episode with some supernatural element. Not really.
No, I blew it.
Not really. I mean, other than we go to Daniel's apartment, not really. Some sort of knowledge and information that Daniel is given in a non-traditional way that the team has to use to solve the crisis they're faced with?
Nope.
No, not really. Using whatever this information comes, using whatever this information comes at a cost to Daniel. Okay, I don't know what I wrote there. Basically, this information comes at a cost.
Yeah, so using the information would harm Daniel in some way.
Like,
and they had to decide if it was worth that.
Yeah, puts his life at risk. I mean, his life was at risk, but not because of the information.
Yeah,
and then they have to decide, will they allow Daniel to risk his life or is theirs to protect him?
You know what? Nope. They should have gone with my prediction.
Yeah, it would have been interesting.
And done that episode.
Yeah, that would have been more interesting. That's true. Yeah, so not so good. And I actually, it's one of the few times I agree with IMDb. I think 6.9 is generous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll get to that at the end.
So, okay. Then I guess it's time to jump into the episode.
Yes.
Okay, here we go. So we start off in the gate control room.
Mm-hmm.
And Jack is talking with
Lieutenant Barber.
Yeah. And so a character we've never seen before.
Yeah. And we'll never see again because he kills himself later. Actually, kills himself in the opener.
Yeah.
Yes.
But hey, at least he had lines.
Yeah, he had lines and he got a name. So,
yeah.
Not everybody gets that.
Right. Yes. So. Jack and Barber are talking, and they're talking about a bet that they had, that Jack and Daniel had.
Yes. So Jack hands Barber a note for Daniel, and it's because of the bet that Jack lost.
Yes, and the way Barber is acting and talking through this whole scene, I know he's already going to die.
Okay, I did not get that.
Oh my God, it was so ham-fisted for me.
I did not get that, but
like,
okay.
Like, the first words out of his mouth, I'm like, oh, okay, here's our victim for the episode. And then second thing, it's the second line out of his mouth, I'm like, yep, yep, nailed it.
It's the red shirt.
Although I did expect him to live at least through the opening scene.
Yeah,
but, he did not. Yeah. So anyhow.
Yeah. So they had some banter, which is really funny because, like, I think he asked, like, what they bet on. And he says, oh,
yeah, curling. Sam's asking.
Oh, Sam's asking. And he's like, curling.
Yeah.
Like, Daniel's favorite team won or something.
And Sam is not buying it.
She's like, no. Yeah. Yeah. And they walk into the gate room, basically, while all they're talking.
And so the gate's dialing, and right as it gets to the end, Barbara runs up the ramp right into the kawoosh.
Yeah.
And he's gone.
And actually, before that happens, there's a little thing. So Jack and Carter are kind of bantering because, as you said, like, they don't believe. Carter doesn't believe the bet, and they talk about Jack basically staying behind, so Carter is going without him, and because he wants to, I think, relax or something, and he's offering, he's like, hey, you should do that too, and she's like, no, I'm going. Turns out that was the bet.
Yeah.
The bet was whether Carter would actually stay and relax, or whether she would jump on the opportunity to go to another planet.
and betting against her going to the other planet is always going to be a losing bet.
Yes. Well, but apparently Jack, I mean, think about it. Jack lost.
Yeah.
So he bet that she would
take the time
stay.
Off.
Yeah, exactly. Which is interesting, because I would have guessed that he would have guessed that she would stay. But I guess
she figured out what the bet was.
Yeah, she did figure it out. I mean, she's smart. Yeah, and then the chevrons lock, and as the kavush is coming, Barbara grunts into it and dies, basically.
Yep.
Yeah, and
that's
all
our opening.
And that's the opening. I mean, the opener was pretty good, I have to say. I mean, yes, it was kind of, as you said, obvious that he would die, but it was kind of interesting.
I agree. I thought it was interesting little opening.
And very okay, very effective, very short. I mean, there was barely anything, right?
Yes. Yes. I liked how they very quickly gave us the setup.
Yeah.
Where life is normal, no one suspecting anything is odd.
Mm-hmm.
Friendly banter among people, and then in an instant it all changes.
I kind of wish they would have spent more time here and less time on the rest. But then maybe it wouldn't have worked as well.
Yeah. Well, okay, what they could have done is stopped him from running into the kawoosh, like gotten lucky and tackled him.
Mm-hmm.
And Daniel's off world and so, like, okay, let the team that's on the other side know that unless it's an emergency, no one's coming back through until we finish our investigation.
Yeah.
And but then other people are getting sick, and so they call Daniel back to see if he has information, and then he starts to get sick, and now the race is on. And I think that would have been more interesting.
I'm not sure. I'm actually not sure. I think the setup itself was, I think, fine that way. I think they could have done a little bit more, like, more banter or a little bit more backstory about him, or I don't know, some throwaway line about Barbara and Jack, and I don't know, some history they have or whatever. Like, they could have.
Oh, been, yeah, that would have been good.
That could have been. They could have added a little bit more to him and to the story. Like, I mean, as I said, we barely meet him. He's like, he's the guy taking the note to Daniel, and then he's dead. And that's all we get about him.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. We get so little about him that after the opener, if you were to say,
it doesn't matter.
Hey, Jeff, what color was his hair?
You would be like, wait, he had hair?
Yeah. Was he wearing a hat or not? Could I see his hair or not?
I don't know. I don't know. Actually, I don't remember. Yeah, as I said, I think it lost a little bit in your connection to that person and the effect the death would have had, because he was there so briefly, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they could have cut out some of the later staring at stuff that didn't really add anything.
Oh my God, right? Yes. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So we get back from the opening credits, mm-hmm. and the away team on the planet that Barber kawooshed instead of going to, mm-hmm. They're all coming back. Daniel, he's been with that team. He's coming back, and he's just like super hyped and excited, yeah, about what he found there.
Yeah.
And Jack is trying to tell him, you know, calm down, pal. We have to talk.
Yeah.
And finally is able to get the words in between everything Daniel's saying, and tells him what happened with Barber. And Daniel's like, wait, what?
Exactly. Yeah, this is one of the parts we could have probably skipped, because it kind of, other than Daniel's excitement, didn't really add anything.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. His excitement overall seemed to outweigh what you would expect from him based on the other things that they've encountered.
Yeah, but I mean, one, he's always very excited about something, and two, the light and all of that. He's on drugs.
Yeah. That's true. He's kind of stoned right now.
Yeah, but as I said, they could have just merged that into the. We're already like we're probably about a minute in, and we're already rewriting the entire episode. So
that's telling.
Yeah.
So exactly. Okay. So I believe now we go to the exposition room.
Yeah, our favorite room where we always have
because to end up. Yeah, because we have to unpack this, and they're talking about how. There weren't any signs that he had any trouble. No one had expected.
And he hadn't even been back 48 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. And so they start talking about the site that he was at and Daniel was at. And,
yeah, Hammond actually asks him about this Gorwulf palace you were studying, and Daniel's completely zoned out. At first.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Yeah, and he says, yeah, there's no recent gold or whatever, but there was this absolutely stunning light show.
Yeah. And Daniel has like a little gold PDA hand computer thing.
He calls it, yeah. And Teal'c will help translating.
Because of course.
We need Teal'c Wiki for the translation.
Yeah, which ultimately will bring me to another critical moment or critical discussion, critical take. There we go.
Yeah.
But anyhow, now we've done our discussion. So we cut to Daniel's doing research.
Yeah, it's Daniel's lab.
He's acting weird, and he's been sleeping, and Jack's like,
he's not been sleeping.
What's up with you?
Yeah,
he has not been sleeping.
He's not been sleeping. Teal'c was actually watching recordings of the writings. He also discovered a non-Stargate team member on it. So there's a shadow of a person.
Oh, right. Yeah.
That they apparently didn't notice.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Daniel is very restless, very frustrated because the computer isn't working. And then Jack is like, did you check the batteries?
Yeah. Oh, do I have this in the wrong order?
It probably is.
Because.
Yes. Yeah, because. Yeah,
I think I've got it in the wrong order because that all happens before Jack's like, dude, you need to sleep.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So first, Daniel wants to go back. I think it is happening. This Daniel wants to go back, and Jack kind of doesn't want to. And we go to Hammond's office because I think this is where this happened. Like,
oh, because, right, yes, because this is where Daniel mouths off.
Yeah, and Daniel hasn't slept at all, and Hammond is insisting that he gets some sleep first before they go. But he's like, but I want to go, like now.
And Hammond and Jack are both, nope. Yeah.
Yeah, and Hammond is like, you're scheduled to leave tomorrow morning. One more day isn't going to make a difference. And Daniel is like, but yes, it does. And then he mouths off. He's like, you know, it's beyond my comprehension. No, anybody like yourself who has so much power can miss the point entirely.
Which is a very weird thing for Daniel to be doing.
Yes. Yeah. Hammond responds to that also in a very interesting way, because he is like, this letter is to Lieutenant Barber's family, explaining that he died in the service of his country. I spent the last 2 hours on it. I can't tell them anything about how he died and anything about the work he did, only that he's gone. Do you get the point? I didn't. I don't know what he was saying. Daniel mouthed off about like missing the point and whatever, and Hammond is like, oh, I think I know. He's like, because he's like, this work is dangerous and you should be careful, so you should be like,
okay, I'll accept
like,
that.
You should be healthy and awake and like at your 100% before you go. Not
okay.
Sleep deprived and frustrated and whatever drugs he's on.
Right. Okay. Yep. I'll accept that.
Yeah. But I only got it now. When I was watching it, I didn't get it.
Well, I got it because you just told me.
Okay, cool. So you didn't get it either when you watched it.
I did not.
Yeah. And with that, dismissed.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the next day, scheduled time. Carter's waiting.
Oh, right, and Daniel's not there.
Daniel's not showing. And Hammond is like, but yesterday he wanted to go like now, and now he's not showing. This is weird. And then Jack is like, I will give him a wake-up call.
Yeah, so Jack drives over to Daniel's place.
Yeah.
And it looks like the right building.
I think Carter said something that she got him on the phone briefly, and now he's not responding or something because
he would have just off called. The hook.
Yeah, we see that when we're at the apartment. Yes, so there is Daniel's apartment, which I wanted to mention is a real place. Mm-hmm. It is at 550 Beatty Street in Vancouver. Beatty, I don't know, something like that.
And I think they've used this location before for Daniel's apartment.
They have, yes. Yeah, so Jack arrives and the door is open, which is the first weird thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the phone is off the hook.
Right.
And the kettle is boiling.
The kettle starts boiling after he gets there.
Oh, I'm that's like, true.
Okay, so Daniel just put tea on a minute ago.
A minute or two ago, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But where's Daniel? Apartment seems empty.
Right. But Jack finds him on the balcony, but on the outside of the railing.
Yeah. Did you notice something about this scene?
Well, the first thing I noticed is that this is so not Colorado Springs.
No shit.
Not at all. And like the stuff that's below, you know, the rest of the city block, I'm like, there's nothing like that around Colorado Springs.
Nope.
The skyline is completely wrong. The horizon is completely wrong.
Yeah.
And
plans are wrong.
And it feels more like Seattle than Colorado Springs.
Well, it's not that far off.
Right. And so whatever I was supposed to notice but didn't, I was so completely lost in my whole thing about how horribly not Colorado Springs this is.
I mean, given that you're not that far away, that you would have noticed that. I noticed something else. The weather changes. The first shot shows like bright sunshine and like outside and a dry building, and then at the balcony the ground is wet and the sky is overcast and so on. So
how funny. Oh, of course they use B-roll footage for the apartment exterior.
I would guess that they had that from a previous episode even.
Yeah.
So yes. Well, or they just shot it at different times. I mean, you never know. They just shot the outside and then he went inside and in between there was a thunderstorm and all of that. Could be.
All right. So here's how that could actually not be a problem.
Okay.
If this were actually Colorado, the weather can change that fast. From the time
within 30 seconds? A minute maximum?
Let's call it a minute.
Okay, within a minute it can go from like blue skies, not a cloud, to wet and overcast and it just rained? I don't think so. I think even for Colorado Springs, that is a little bit too much.
Okay, give it 5 minutes.
Okay, five minutes I would give you. But like 1 minute, I'm like, no.
Okay, we don't maybe know how he long it took really Jack fast. To park.
maybe it took him like time to park and then he walked really slow and couldn't find the apartment and you know. Okay, I'll give you that.
parking in Colorado Springs can be difficult. So
yeah, okay. Yeah.
Anyhow,
he's about to jump. He's on the outside of the balcony.
And he's very despondent and he's telling Jack it's this very non-specific stuff about
none of this means anything. I tried, it just goes away. You don't even know what I'm talking about. Like that's what he's saying. Like
and Jack when Daniel's saying it just goes away and all of that, Jack says, "Well, come back in, and we'll figure out how to fix it."
Yeah.
And Daniel's like, "You don't even know what I'm talking about." Jack says, "Nope, I don't, but come on in anyhow."
Yeah, and then he grabs Daniel's arm and holds him and pulls him in, basically. So, yay, Daniel didn't jump. I mean, it would have been more interesting, but he didn't.
It would have been.
Yeah.
But, anyhow. So, okay. I've got this. We get Doc Fraser.
Yes,
because she tells us physically what's going on with Daniel.
Yes,
but she doesn't get why.
Yeah,
and she's like, he's acting like he's been on drugs and
first thing she says is that the PET scan revealed his neurological activity is slowing. And neurotransmitters relay messages, and too many or too few can result in anxiety, depression, or a number of emotional or physical disorders, she says. And also that SG5 is having the same symptoms.
Yeah, so it seems...
And then she says it's like, it's generally drug-induced, but she couldn't find any foreign substances.
Right. Yeah, the data that they collected, including data from the MALP, it's like there's nothing to indicate
a trigger for what's happening. All of that. Yeah. So Jack basically then convinces Hammond to go back in MOP 2, he says, to bring back samples.
Yeah. So like hazmat gear, basically.
Yes. Yes. I don't know what MOP stands for, but it's basically hazmat gear. Something protection, probably.
Yep.
It's not as if we got picked up.
Yeah, I wonder what that means. Okay, look it up. and I'll start talking about what happens next. You find that. So they...
Mission-oriented protective posture, MOPP.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, and there's different levels, I guess, so.
Okay.
Zero is nothing. You might carry a protective mask that is available. Suit, boots, and gloves could be donned if needed, but they're kind of round simply. One is you're wearing a suit, but you're carrying still the mask, so you don't actually have it on. But you could put boots and gloves on if you needed. And two is basically suit and boots, but you still carry the mask and gloves, which then also tells you that how they arrive on the planet is actually four, because four is everything is worn.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, it goes from you wear nothing, but you have everything with you, to at the fourth level is everything is worn, basically. And that's the difference. Like what are you actually already wearing and what can you like either get or put on right away if needed?
So they were definitely not MOP 2. They were MOP 4. No,
they were MOP 4 when they came through. And I read that somewhere, so that's why I wanted to mention it, because I read it and I didn't put it in my thing. That was actually a mistake.
So, okay, well.
Yeah, which given what happens right after when they're on the planet, I think MOP 2 would have been enough. But
hey. Yeah. They didn't need to mop anything for this
Carter did. Oh, my tricorder says the air is fine, and then everyone
takes their mask off.
And like, okay.
It's like, well, why'd you even bother people?
Exactly.
So they do get a glimpse of the extra person that Teal'c saw in the video. Because in the video they only saw a shadow.
Yeah.
When they're there on location, they see it's like a kid running around.
Yeah. By the way, we're in the palace now. Like, all that happened in the palace. They came through in mop gear and didn't find anything wrong and took the gear off. And I kind of found that strange. I'm like, this had literally, Carter holds up a device, kind of like a tricorder. It's like, beep, 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 beep. Everything is fine. We can take it off. And I'm like, you don't know what is around, like what nanorobots or viruses or whatever could be around.
But yeah. Hey. Or if what infected everyone is in a different part of the building.
True. No, yeah. They step through the gate. Carter does the tricorder thing, and then she's like, "Oh no, everything is fine."
It's from a cinematography standpoint. I appreciate when the masks makes sense. Off.
Yeah.
But yeah, bad
realism.
Call.
As I said, it's like Star Trek, where they're like, "Oh no, everything is fine," and then they walk around, and of course it's not.
Of course. Yeah.
Not that the masks would have helped them in this case, but.
Right. Yeah, that's true. So maybe they read ahead in the script and were like, well, we're just going to take these off now.
Exactly.
Okay, so they're like moths.
Yeah.
Because when they see the light from the TARDIS console, because, I mean, console. Seriously, it's what it looks like.
It does look like it, yeah. You're right.
They all head over to check that out.
Yeah.
And
Carter also uses her tricorder to check it, and she's like, there's nothing but light here.
Yeah, well,
which turns out it's not true, but
yeah, Carter's doing great with her
tricorder.
With her tricorder in this episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
She needs a new model.
Yeah.
So anyhow, they all get like totally zoned in on the light, and
yeah, Jack is questioning as usual whether it's dangerous, and then Teal'c is one of the few things he says in this episode is like, it's most difficult to believe that something so beautiful could be dangerous, O'Neill.
Yeah, I think that's the longest line he has in the entire episode.
Probably yes.
Yeah, yeah,
but they seem to at least still be able to disconnect from the light and walk away. So they do.
Yeah, they shake it off, and Sam, she does want to run more tests.
Yeah.
Because
she thinks there might be something that there might be a relationship between the light and what's happening to Daniel. She's wrong, but she's also not entirely wrong.
Yes. But they do finally come across the kid.
Yeah, Lauren is his name.
Yeah, and apparently he's the only person around.
Yeah.
And so Jack, like, talks with him for a minute. And
then they take him back to the Melt because Hammond wants an update.
And the kid, okay, so here's where we have another problem.
Okay.
The kid's, like, totally amazed. Wait, he can talk to me through there? He can see me?
Yeah.
Okay, this kid, we discover, his family is, they're doing their own archaeological work.
Yeah.
They are clearly scientifically advanced enough so that something like this should not totally blow the kid's mind.
True, yeah. I mean, also the fact that later on we learn that he actually turned off the device and all of that.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Yeah. A little inconsistency. I would say fine. It's not too big. What's more interesting is that Hammond says it's been an hour since they last checked in, but to Jack it felt like minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's concerning. And
also concerning.
Yes. So Daniel, his condition is getting worse.
Yeah, he's fallen into a coma, into a deep coma. And SG-1 is dead, by the way. SG-5 is dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, uh-oh.
Yeah, uh-oh. So, all right. So Sam, she has to start doing more study on the... Yeah. On the light,
yeah,
and she gets like totally sucked into it.
We jumped over a little thing. So Jack,
oh, of course we
Jack
did.
Returned with the samples that he collected back to SGC. And Fraser doesn't have good news about Daniel. Like he's dying.
I totally forgot that even happened.
Then we go to Carter.
Okay, so Carter, she's trying to do her setup to gather more data from the light thing, but then her brain just melts and she's totally sucked in.
Yeah.
So
Tilk in the meantime talks to Laura, and we learn what you just said, that they're from another planet. Lauren also has a toy gun. I'm like, okay, funny.
And Jack, why? Or not Jack,
okay.
Tilk is like, what is up with humans and their thing for weapons that don't work?
Yeah, exactly. And then we talk about Tilk's birthday, like out of the loop. I think because the toy gun was a birthday present, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. And then it's like, Tilk's like, on my homeworld of Tulak, we do not celebrate the anniversary of one's birth. So no gift. Well,
But the kid gives Tilk the toy gun as a gift, anyhow.
Yeah, yeah. And we learn that Tilk is 101 years old and turns 102 in 42 days. So we learned that. Okay. Not super important, but hey.
Yeah, but hey, at least now we know a little bit more about Tilk.
Yeah, at least he got another 5 lines in or something.
Yeah.
Minimum required lines fulfilled. Yeah, minimum required number of lines, like from his contract fulfilled, we can move on.
So, okay. I do remember that after this, we get to see Jack starting to have withdrawal symptoms.
Yes. So there's no, we're in the infirmary. There's like, I think Jack got tricked as well. There's no change on Daniel. And then he's getting frustrated and restless and...
Start snapping at people.
Yeah, and Fraser's like, maybe we should check your dopamine levels.
Yeah, she's like, yeah, we got a problem for you.
Yeah, she talks to Hammond, basically. Hammond comes in and she's like, yeah, something is accelerating neural activity in the brain, which is funny because earlier she said it was slowing down, but okay.
It's, you know, faster, at this point slower. In the episode, it doesn't matter.
It faster, doesn't matter. Slower, something whatever. Is happening. But apparently it's only as long as you're on the planet and shortly after you returned. Never mind. It accelerates on the planet, but when you return, it slows. It starts to decrease in depression as a result. And the blood work confirms it. And also the boy is not immune either. I didn't get that they took a sample from him, but I guess they did.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. So and they decide they're going to have to take Daniel back to the planet and they have to do it right now.
Kind of, yeah. So first she says like that the proportion or the intensity of the swings into depression seem to be proportional to the time you've spent on the planet. That kind of tracks, right? Mm-hmm. The more increased dopamine levels you have, the more it's going to crash. She hopes that Jack's exposure wasn't long enough for the symptoms to be as bad as Daniel's, right? I mean, he was there long, probably not, apparently not as long as SG-5, because they're all dead.
Mm-hmm.
But Jack says something about, great, all those years of just saying no. Did you get
I'm
that?
I'm glad that Jack, yeah.
Did you get that reference?
Oh yeah, that's totally Nancy Reagan.
Yes.
War on Drugs line.
Yeah. Exactly. Just say no. It's like the sarcastic. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. So they're wheeling Daniel, to the gate, and but his condition is getting worse and worse, and his heart stops on the way to the gate.
Yes. Yeah. So basically, what happens is first Hammond told us that he tried to recall SG-1 now, but they don't respond. And then Daniel's EEG starts to get sporadic, and they decide, let's take him back, because that at least seems to be helping. but then, as you said, they're basically on the way. And I think, I don't know, was it Fraser or Jack or someone says, no time to resuscitate?
I think it was Fraser that says that.
Yeah, so Jack just picks him up, throws him over his shoulder, and walks through the gate, because he's like...
And so and that was whole thing...
Makes no sense, but okay.
Same. and I believe I turned to my office manager,
and said, oh.
Who was curled up mostly asleep, and said... Seriously? Oh, come on. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, to be fair, it does not get resolved right away on the planet, right? I mean, he's still kind of dead on the floor. But then he wakes up.
But then he wakes up.
Yeah,
there's no CPR or anything. Nope. His heart has stopped, and it just magically starts working.
Magically, the light still, or whatever it is, still fixes stopped hearts.
Yeah.
Magic medical resuscitation device, I guess.
Yeah. I was definitely having trouble with all of that.
Yeah, me too. I was like, yeah. But at this point, all of it was so ridiculous that I was like, oh, whatever. It's like...
yeah. So, yeah. But hey, you know, Daniel wakes up, as you pointed out.
Yeah.
And...
Carter and Felix are still staring at the light.
Mm-hmm. And so when Jack pulls them away to talk to them, Carter's like, "Whoa, dude!" she has no idea what's been going on, how long that they've been standing there.
Yeah, she didn't even realize Hammond tried to contact them, and I think she's like, "I didn't hear." And Logan says, "Yeah, like I heard Hammond was calling."
Yeah.
Yeah. We learned he's not allowed in the room as well, like where the light is.
Oh, well, no one should be allowed in the room.
It's true. But the light is not the problem, or part of the problem, but not the only problem.
Yeah.
Because Carter points out the obvious thing, like if it's light itself, then how did Daniel recover just by arriving on the planet?
Right.
Huh.
Yeah, but Jack's like, we're shutting this down.
Yeah.
Find an off switch.
Exactly, find an off switch. Hammond calls Daniel. And Daniel's like, well, we need, so he's fine. And then he's like, I need glasses and I need supplies. And the remote computer.
Yeah, you're telling me this scene... I have literally no recollection of it at all.
It's also not super important. It's only important in the context of the next scene, because Daniel walks into the light room, the stoned room. I don't know what to call it. The drug den.
The drug den.
The drug den, and Carter, Teal'c, and Jack are standing there staring into the light. And Daniel just turns it off with the remote, or with what he called a computer, which turns out is a remote. And Jack is like, I thought that thing was broken. And Daniel is like, yeah, you were right. It was the batteries.
Okay, so now here's the place where I have another problem. Okay, the batteries joke was funny.
I did like that. And he explains it after. It was like something about the, something on the planet basically makes it work.
Yeah. And so fine, that's fine.
Okay.
But
hand wave.
He turned off the lights.
Yeah.
We know that that the rest of the system is what's actually getting you stoned.
Well, we know that. He doesn't.
But so why did they all just like snap out of it and like, oh, hey.
No, they did snap out of it when he turned it off.
But I thought he only turned off the lights.
Yeah, he turned off the lights. Yes.
But that's not the part that gets him stoned.
Yes, but he explains that in a second. Well, kind of yes. No, kind of yes and kind of no. So the light is part of it, and he does explain it. So basically, he says perception of time. So they lost a couple hours where Daniel was working. And he says perception of time is one of the first things to go when you're high. And he was able to translate with Thorin's help that the Goa'uld used this palace as some sort of opium den. The only difference is that their symbiotes must have kept the host's mind chemically balanced. So basically, and I think, I don't know, is it Carter or someone explains it later, I think later, that the light basically keeps you there. And then the whatever radiation or whatever it is has the effect of like the neurotransmitters and all of that. So the light is kind of mesmerizing you. It's not making you high in that. Mm-hmm. But they were never high, right, on the planet. They never felt like they were completely high. They were staring into the light because the light was mesmerizing them. But it was kind of the Carter explains it later. It's like the combination of the light and the radiation is kind of what made it work. If you take one away, the other is still there, but it doesn't have that much of an effect. Right, dopamine. Okay. Like you can have a dopamine high and you feel great and like you're not stoned.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair.
If you're exercising, you have a dopamine high. Doesn't mean you're stoned. You just feel good.
True.
Yeah.
All right. Now the fact that you're having to explain all this to me.
Yeah, it's way too complicated.
Yeah, and it should be concerning.
Yeah. Yeah.
For the writers of this episode, that all this stuff that they actually tell us, as we're going along, I have no recollection of it.
Yeah, and it also makes no sense. And Jack senses that Lauren hasn't told the entire truth. So he's like,
You think?
Where did your parents actually go?
Yeah. What's the kid hiding?
Yeah. Yeah. So Jack, Carter, and Teal'c are walking outside now.
Because of course.
Carter's getting frustrated by the fact that they're stuck there. Turns out...
Oh, right. Her and Jack start fighting on the beach.
Yeah. Yeah. Then they're like, oh, I guess we're both in withdrawal again. Because they scream at each other at some point.
And of course, Teal'c's totally fine because he has Junior.
He has Junior, yes.
And he finds the dead parents.
Yeah, he does find the graves of the dead parents. So they were buried.
Yes.
They were not just left there, they were properly buried. So.
Well, I wouldn't say properly buried because their skulls are sticking up out of the ground where the wind has blown it away.
Yeah, I mean, you don't know what burial looks like for where Beloren is from.
Okay, that's true.
You can explain that away. But it looks like it was an intentional burial site, at least.
Yes, that absolutely true. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
The question is, how did Lauren's parents die?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so what role did he play in that?
Yeah. So back. Lauren has taken a picture of Daniel with his camera that he had with him.
Oh, yes. And Daniel's like, you know, or he starts a very thinly veiled, implying that Lauren doesn't want the team to leave.
Yeah.
And maybe he's withholding information that could be helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. So the team comes back and they're like, oh, we felt withdrawals. And Daniel's like, I was fine. So I guess the proximity to the device somehow is a factor.
Right. And I think Carter, go ahead.
This is where we get the explanation from Carter that I mentioned. It's like the light isn't what is affecting our mind. It's just something to take advantage of our altered state of our brain chemistry. Probably more than that, the color and the light interaction with our optic nerves probably trigger the chemical responses, but it's not the direct cause of the imbalance. There must be a hidden device emitting some form of energy or radiation that we can't detect with our instruments. So her magical tricorder is not working. And yeah, this is where Jack confronts Lauren about the fate of his parents and the device, and Lauren is in denial.
So, okay, so this brings us to the one monologue in the episode where I feel like someone actually showed up.
Yeah.
One of the actors showed up and actually took part in the episode. Because
it's Jack. Because Jack talks to Lauren.
Yeah, and Lauren, when he responds and he starts like telling what really happened.
Yeah.
And he starts crying. When he starts crying, I do believe that Lauren is crying.
Yeah. It's the only time. Yeah, so I have it verbatim if you want, like what he said. So he said, we found this place. All they would do is stare at that light. All day. That light didn't affect me. My father said it was because I was too young, which is something he had said before. But they didn't let me in the room anyway, just in case. I think that was a safe thing. I told them to stop every day, but they just tell me to bring them things. One day I stopped. It was days before the hunger was stronger than the light. They came out looking for me, looking for food, and I snuck into the light room and turned it off. Not just the light, everything. So he's quite smart if he can turn everything off. I didn't know that it would hurt them. I just wanted to go home. They died because of me. They were screaming. They ran outside. They didn't make any sense. So I did. I turned it back on. But they were already in the water so far, and they just kept on going. They just kept on going and screaming, and I turned it back on. But they just kept on going, and then they were gone. Next day, I found them on the shore, and that's when he was crying. Yeah, and Jack tells him it wasn't his fault. Like,
but I can appreciate why he would think it was his fault.
Yeah, I mean, especially as a kid. I mean, who knows how long he's been there?
Yeah.
I mean, they're bones, so probably a while, right? The parents are like just corpses. They're completely decomposed, so a while.
So it's been a while,
So then he thinks he can turn it off because he kept reading and whatever.
Mm-hmm. But we know if you turn the whole thing off, then they will die.
Yeah. By the way, before that, Lauren had pushed a button to reveal the controls of the device because they were looking for them. And he was like, beep.
Here you go. Boop.
Yeah. So and then Jack walked away with him while Carter tried to figure out the device. And Carter explains it. And she's like, if you shut it off cold turkey, Lauren is right. We'll go into withdrawal again. But Tilk and Daniel have translated some of the writing inside this thing, sir. And we think it's designed to be turned down incrementally. Here's the secret.
Yeah.
Within 2 or 3 weeks, your brain chemistry will return to normal. You may then return home, is what Tilk says, because I don't know why.
Because he needed contractual line. Obligations for lines.
Yes.
Yeah. And so now Jack's like, oh, and I get to relax like I had wanted 3 to.
3 weeks in the palace by the beach. Yay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he sends Tilk home to inform Hammond.
Right, and they let Lauren know that he'll be coming with them.
Yeah, and have ice cream.
And have ice cream, and then Lauren's like, "But it's ice cream."
And that's the end of this ridiculous episode.
All right, Patrice, I feel like you've really been. Subtle about your feelings on this episode. What did you really think?
Here's the thing. It is a very, very interesting premise that was very badly executed. The whole thing with, like, what if you're exposed to drugs on another planet and, like, drugs are bad for you and all of that. There was so much more you could have done with it. And especially the withdrawal side, like what happens to you and all of that, and how you get off of it. It's kind of the way they've resolved it at the end. It's like, oh yeah, no problem. We'll just turn it down incrementally and then we'll be fine. And there will be no after effects. And of course, nothing bad will happen to them and all of that. And the boy's also fine. All of that. That was just too perfect.
I agree.
Yeah, it's just badly. As I said, it was. I remember the episode for the ridiculous light. It was really nice effect, but it's kind of ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
But it was not. It wasn't total crap, but it was just not very interesting.
You know, they did an addiction episode. Was it season 2 with Daniel? Because he got addicted to the sarcophagus.
Ah, yes.
And they talked about the withdrawal and his recovery process and how this is months of time and
So they handled it.
They handled it well then.
Yes,
but this time, not so much.
Yeah. Deus Ex Remote, basically. It's like, oh, perfect. We figured it out. Like, after, as I said, the design is beautiful, and they did get an award for that, and I think they deserved it because it was really cool. Mm-hmm. So the production design was not at fault here. It's just I would say even the directing was not so bad. It's just the script just wasn't interesting.
You know, I'm with you. I mean, and I'm sure you probably picked up on my feelings about the episode. There's no, major stuff that
you
I just
were didn't. So subtle about it, Jeff.
I was so subtle.
Totally. Yes, about as subtle as the like this episode.
Yeah, I could go on,
mm-hmm.
but I think you've already expressed my feelings for me. Very, very well. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. Yeah. The sad thing is, other than what we just talked about and where we started rewriting the entire thing, I don't think there's too much to say about it. It's just not, it is not so bad that you want to rail on it and like talk about how bad it was. It's also not good because then you would want to talk about how good it was. It's just meh.
It was a styrofoam episode.
Yes. Yeah. Which probably, I mean, we also have very few guest stars, and other than the room, there's not a lot. I think this is probably was a money saver as well.
You're probably right. Yeah. So, all right. Well,
fine.
Then that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That brings us to the next thing, which is how many chevrons are you going to give this one?
I'm torn, to be honest. It's I didn't think it is that bad. It's just, as I said, boring and really not super interesting. So I'm kind of between the 3 and 4. Like if I wanted to, I could give it a 3 and be like, okay, this was crap.
Mm-hmm.
But like a 4 is more the don't care rating. So I think I'm gonna go with a 4, probably knowing that I'm probably more positive about it than I should be.
Okay, and that's fair.
Yeah. I'm kind of really. I mean, it is a borderline 4 for me. Like, it's barely a 4.
It's I appreciate the debating that you had to do to get. To the rating that you gave it.
You know, and I didn't debate all that much. That's the thing. That's why I'm giving it a 4. Because if I had to debate, it would have been a 3. Because then it's bad. The 4 is like, I don't even want to talk about it. It's like 4. Gone. Next.
Yeah.
So what about you?
So for me...
Maybe give it a 3 or is it a 2?
It's oh my god, it's like you know me. Okay.
Yeah.
The litmus test for me is, do I get up and walk away from the couch while the episode is going?
Yes.
And I don't pause it.
Okay.
And that happened with this episode.
Okay. So it was interesting enough for that at least.
Well, I got up and walked away from the couch.
Oh, you did.
But I did not pause the episode.
Okay.
And so as soon as I get up from the couch, and it's not like I'm leaving the room. I just went and grabbed a snack and came back. But I wasn't paying close attention to what was going on because getting a snack seemed far more interesting at the time. So yes. when I hit the walk away from the couch level, then you know the episode has lost me.
Yeah, but it's also it's not so bad that you're interested in how bad it is, right? So it's like,
that's
as
true.
I said, it's kind of meh. It's like it's not super interesting, simply.
Yeah. So it wasn't something where I was so upset with how bad it was that I had to start texting you and giving you live texts throughout.
Okay.
Although there was a couple places where I thought about doing that. This one's a 3 for me.
Okay. I'm actually surprised. I was kind of wondering whether you would give it a 2 or not.
I did consider that.
Yeah.
But there's a couple things in the episode that I liked enough that it wasn't a 2.
Okay.
One of them was Lorm's monologue at the end.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the other was I really enjoyed the set that they were in.
Yeah.
And so I'm not surprised it got awards. I thought that set was put together really well.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, honestly, that is the thing I remember. I remember the light and the set. I do not remember anything else.
There you go.
It's almost as if they had drugged me with that light. I don't know.
So, but I mean, seriously, this was almost a 2.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm being kind of generous giving it a 3.
And I feel like I'm being generous giving it a 4. So that works.
All right.
Okay. So next episode.
Next episode. Okay.
Next episode. So the episode title is Prodigy. Prodigy.
And you cannot tell me the German title, I'm sure.
Nope, I cannot. I was just checking, but no, I cannot. I can definitely not tell you that. I can have a look at the IMDb rating, and I will tell you it's better than this one.
Well, thank God for that.
Take that as whatever you want. Prodigy. Yeah.
Prodigy. Okay. So, Prodigy, I mean, I can't imagine that they're using this in some way that isn't consistent with the actual definition of the word.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have a young person who is very gifted at whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so our favorite team, so SG-1 will encounter this person, and so they have to be young. So it's a child or a teenager, and this brilliant child becomes core to solving the crisis on whatever the planet is. And I don't know what the crisis is. I mean, it could be Gould. It could be the computer has run away with its processes, and now it's gone rogue, or it could be environmental. It doesn't matter. But that this child is going to be the key to saving them. And it is not going to be the Harsesis kid returned. This is going to be someone else. My feeling is they've just dropped the Harsesis thing. We'll never hear about it again in the entire series. Just a hunch.
Okay. I've written that down, and we'll talk about that next time. Let's see how close you get this time.
So I have a follow-up prediction for you. It's a prediction about my prediction.
Okay, a prediction about your prediction.
I am at least partially right. And it's because of the definition of prodigy.
I'll write it down. German predicts he is at least partially right. Okay. we'll see. We'll see. I'll tell you now that you've predicted this, 2 more things. It was It is directed by our all-time favorite director, Peter DeLuise.
Oh, okay. So that increases the likelihood that it's a really good episode.
Well, I mean, you know, sometimes the director can help and sometimes they can't, but they usually can't make up for a bad script. Yeah. The story credit goes to Brad Wright, Joseph Melozzi, and Paul Molly. So all three. And okay. Joseph and Paul also get teleplay credit.
Okay.
So take that
so as it's as all it will. Known entities.
All known entities, exactly. Yeah. So I guess you will be surprised, whatever it is.
Of course I will.
Of course you
will.
I mean,
I was surprised by the light. Just not in a good way.
Not in a good way. That's true. Yeah. And we will have to watch it and then talk about it.
We will. Okay. I think we're getting close to when it's time to bail on the embarkation room.
Yes.
So before we do that, we need to go through our usual Stargate procedures and find out where people can find you.
Yeah. By the way, I want to mention there's only mm-hmm. four episodes left in this season.
Okay. So my expectation is that now that we're in that final stretch, there's no room for clunker episodes like The Light. They all have to be good.
We'll see. I mean, we'll have to watch them and then we'll judge that, whether that's true.
Yeah, well, okay. To be fair, the end of season two, in a cliffhanger yes. into season oh, three my God. Was... Yes. All right, well,
yes.
I want to think positive.
Yeah, think positive, exactly. Yes. Okay, you wanted to know where people can find more about me, right?
Yes, please.
Yeah, so Retro Rewatch, of course, with you on British Tech Network, on The Mac Show, on The Big Show, and everything I'm doing... Social media links, podcasts, projects, all of it on my website. ThePatrice.com will take you there.
Awesome. Okay.
What about you?
Okay. So I am Jay Gamet on the various social medias. And I'm most active right now on Mastodon, Pixelfed, and Blue Sky.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as always, I will pick two shows. One is The Context Machine, and I'm picking that one this week because I want to let people know, if you haven't seen it already, we've started a newsletter to go along with the show. So if you go to contextmachine.io, you can sign up for the newsletter.
Very cool.
Okay, and then one other show. So let's go with Dave Ginsberg's In Touch with iOS. And so
all of them are good shows, I have to say.
It's, and I love that there are multiple shows that you and I get to be on together.
Mm-hmm. True.
Yeah.
True. I mean, I always wonder how long it's going to be until we come up with another one. I don't know if there's even space in the schedule for it, but...
right now?
Probably
no.
not.
But...
but...
we could.
Yeah.
And it would probably be a show like each week we talk about whatever thing I can't figure out and how you already knew the answer to it.
Yes.
So it'd be like Retro Rewatch, but yeah. with real life useful information.
Yes. Yeah. It's like Patrice Explains It All, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't it yeah. Clarissa Explains It All? I think that was the show.
It would yeah. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, Patrice knows everything.
No, I don't. I know nothing, to quote another TV show that you've probably never heard or seen.
No.
It's have you ever heard
Hogan's
of
Heroes.
Hogan's Heroes? Yes, I know
okay, here's
nothing.
How I know about Hogan's Heroes. When I was a kid, the local broadcast TV station... Uh-huh. They would run old TV show reruns like mm-hmm. all afternoon.
Okay.
And so it was Hogan's Heroes
yeah.
and Gilligan's Island
yeah.
and
yeah.
Star Trek, the original series. Uh-huh. And there were others, but those are the ones that really stand out for me.
Yeah.
It was probably also things like Brady Bunch in there too.
Yeah. By the way, I want to mention Hogan's Heroes is one of the few shows where I think the German title is actually better than the English.
What's the German title?
In German, it's Ein Käfig voller Helden, so a cage full of heroes. And I think that is a better description or a better title for the show.
That's way better.
Yes.
The alliteration for a U.S. audience totally makes sense.
Absolutely.
But A Cage Full of Heroes is a way better title.
Yes. That's it. It's one of the few times. By the way, there's another one that I always like. Home Improvement, the show, the Tim Allen show.
Oh, yeah.
Is in German, Hör mal, wer da hämmert. Listen who's hammering.
Oh, that's better. I like that better.
So that's literally the only two I know where the German titles are actually better than the English ones. Usually it's the other way around, as we see on the episodes here.
Yeah. Okay, well, from this point forward, it's Cage Full of Heroes.
Yeah, A Cage Full of Heroes.
Yeah. Where can people find us as Retro Rewatch?
Yes.
A Gate Room Full of Critics.
Wow, I have to write that down. I'll write that down somewhere up here.
Okay. So our website is retrorewatch.com. Our email address is hello@retrorewatch.com. And we're also on social media. So on Mastodon, that's retrorewatch@techhangout.social. Did I get it in the right order?
You did.
Wow. One of the only things I can get in the right order.
Yes.
And then on Blue Sky, we're at retrorewatch.com.
Yep. Correct.
Wow. Okay. So, I'm looking forward to getting back to the couch and seeing a better episode.
Yeah.
I feel like there's been so many strong episodes in the season, which really makes the weaker ones stand out.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, then I think it's time to close the iris so I can go back to the couch and watch a better episode of Stargate. And with that, Patrice, I'm so glad we're friends, and I'm so glad we do this. This is so much fun.
Me too.
And everyone, thank you for coming along on our Stargate adventures.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't stare into the light.
Do not stare into the light. No. No. All right. See everyone next time.